But can we really endure the trials such as those that befell the Bannister family with joy? What scriptural outlook can help us to do so? Well, Brother Walter Trubeck, a member of the Canada Bethel Family and Branch Committee, will help us to benefit fully from the scriptural basis for the drama we have just seen. The theme of his talk is Keep Waiting Eagerly with Endurance. Well, have you wiped the tears from your eyes? Keep waiting eagerly with endurance. Quite a theme for a follow-up to the video that we just saw. You know, does the fact that we undergo a trial necessarily mean that we're enduring it? Well, the answer is simply no. You know, the Greek noun for endurance means the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty. To endure, then, is not simply a matter of experiencing some inescapable hardship. In the biblical sense, endurance involves steadfastness, keeping the right mental attitude in the situation we're going through, and to keep a hopeful outlook in the face of the trial that we undergo. From this, we can see that endurance requires waiting patiently. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul was inspired by Holy Spirit to use that expression when he says, when insulted we bless, he says, but when persecuted we patiently endure. And that's why the theme for this final talk this afternoon is keep waiting eagerly with endurance. But what spirit does waiting eagerly really denote, or what does it imply? Well, waiting patiently could describe maybe an inmate in a prison. He's slumped in the corner of his cell, and he's there waiting for release from his confinement in jail. Or maybe putting it into a scene that maybe we can be familiar with. If we're familiar with taking a bus or a subway, you're kind of waiting and patiently looking to see if the bus is coming. You're just waiting. But if we are waiting eagerly, it conveys the idea of patiently enduring with an anticipation. And going back to that man that's in a cell, imprisoned there, it's not just sitting in his cell slumped in a corner, but he's on his tiptoes looking outside maybe a window to see when his release is going to come. Or if you're waiting for a bus, you keep stepping out just off the curb to see if it's coming down the road. You see, that's what eagerly waiting for something involves. Let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. It was the theme scripture for the drama that we just viewed. The Apostle Paul there penned these words. He said, but if we hope for what we do not see, we keep eagerly waiting for it with endurance. Did you notice what enables us to wait eagerly with endurance? It is the hope that we do not see. That means that we want to be focused on those kingdom blessings that Jehovah has outlined for us in His Word, the Bible. It reminds us of one Christian sister who said, When I see pictures of the coming paradise in the Watchtower or the Awake magazine, she says, I examine them closely, as one would a travel brochure. And then she says, I endeavor to see myself in that particular setting, because that is where I truly hope to be in God's new world. Do we do that? Do we think about being in what we hope for, in that righteous new earth? It's like that scripture that Ethan read to his son, Revelation 21 and verse 4. You know, brothers, as we endure, and all of us have to endure varying situations, but we eagerly wait for Jehovah to rescue us. But why is endurance so necessary? The Greek noun that is translated endurance, as we mentioned, denotes such things as courage and steadfastness in dealing with a trial without losing hope. You know, regarding the kind of endurance that Bible writers refer to, one scholar made this comment and explained it this way. And it was a quote that we had in last week's Watchtower study when we attended our meetings. It said this, it is the spirit which can bear things not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. It is the quality which keeps a man on his feet with his face to the wind. It is the virtue which can transmute the hardest trial into glory, because beyond the pain, it sees the goal. We endure today as servants of Jehovah, despite obstacles, despite persecution, or even temptations that may cross our path. And we should be aware of this, because notice what the Apostle John records, Jesus' words in John chapter 16 and verse 33. It shouldn't surprise us that we have to endure obstacles, temptations, trials that cross our path. In verse 33 of John 16, the Apostle John said, I have said these things, this is Jesus speaking, I have said these things to you so that by means of me you may have peace. But then Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Did you note two things that we can learn from this verse? First is that tribulation for us as Christians is unavoidable, because Jesus said, you will have tribulation. He didn't tell us what type of tribulation, just simply, you will have tribulation. And therefore, we need endurance. You see, overnight, our life could change completely. One day we're healthy, the next day we may be seriously ill. Ethan gets a phone call, come and see the doctor because of his checkup. Or one day our secular job seems stable, the next day we're unemployed. Did that not happen to Ethan? Without warning, death can strike a loved one. And that was also depicted in our video drama. The second thing we learn from what we read there in John 16:33 is that Jesus' example teaches us to keep waiting with courage. You see, Jesus conquered the world, and so can you and I. Now, there are many trials that require Christians to have the fortitude to endure patiently and eagerly. some of our brothers face forms of persecution, such as reproach or intense hostility. You know, some of our brothers and sisters in India have continued to endure mob violence while they're engaging in the ministry. And they're not partial. They will go after men, women, children, minors, even a 60-year-old grandmother and an 18-month-old baby have experienced verbal and physical assaults because they're servants of Jehovah. In some cases, we face misrepresentation. There was an example in Malawi. Two of our sisters experienced this. In an effort to get them to buy political cards, a violent mob beat and stripped them and then threatened them with rape. And then the mob lyingly said that members of the Bethel family had obtained these political cards. Others are hated by close family members, mistreated and imprisoned, as some of our brothers currently are in Eritrea, in Korea. Yes, even some have been threatened with death. But that's what Jesus said would happen to those that were his followers. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 22, he described things that would take place in connection with his followers. And in verse 22, he says, "You'll be hated by all people on account of my name. But the one who has endured to the end is the one that will be saved." Now, these trials that we just described are obvious threats to our faithfulness. And most are able to successfully endure these trials. And they wait for salvation from Jehovah. But there are other trials that are less obvious. As we mentioned in our opening talks to the afternoon program, some of the attacks that the devil brought upon Job were subtle in nature. Well, the same can happen to us. And that can erode our faith. And we saw that happen to the Bannister family. You see, they were a strong family, but gradually as they faced some of these little things, these trials, and then other little subtle things began to erode their faith. Now, trials can befall those that have a good spiritual routine. That was the case with Job. We know that Job was a righteous man, the Bible says in Job chapter 1, and he had a good spiritual routine. In fact, the account in Job chapter 1 and verse 5 indicated that he would offer sacrifices in behalf of his children. After each one of them, there was a banquet, because he said if they had sinned and cursed God, he was approaching Jehovah on their behalf. And he regularly did that with his family. He was a spiritual man, Job was. But yet we know what befell Job. As we read earlier, Jesus indicated that all Christians will experience tribulation. Do you recall the Bannister family's spiritual routine? Well, let's just go back and watch a short clip of that video that we just saw.
Well, when people see
did you notice? The Bannister family was like most families of Jehovah's people today. They would have activity in the ministry. They attended congregation meetings. They considered the day's text together as a family. They had family worship. They enjoyed a number of other activities. And Ethan, the father, did you notice he was evidently doing his Bible reading each day? His wife came to take the Bible as he had fallen asleep while reading it. Yes, unlike Job, however, this family experienced calamities that were not directly caused by Satan. The calamities, they initially caught this family off guard, totally unexpected. Do you recall what those tragedies were? Let's just watch them again.
I'm a witness, as you know, and my volunteer work means a lot to me. And I'm trying to balance my volunteer work with work.
Man, you can still have time to do that stuff.
When?
Ethan, you got two options here. It's promotion or deletion. That's all I can give you. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, well, we'll stop. He's starting to blush for it.
Notice what they experienced, a succession of some unforeseen traumatic events. His manager says it's either promotion or deletion. He lost his job. His father and his youngest son are killed in a car accident. And then Ethan himself has a health problem, requires a serious operation. You see, those trials, each one of them, began to rob the Bannister family of their joy in serving Jehovah, in the contentment they had as a united family, and the peace that they were experiencing. And additionally, as in Job's case, and we talked about Job having his so-called comforters coming to see him, there were thoughtless statements that were made by others that added to the emotional burden that the Bannister family was going through. Do you recall what some of those remarks were? Let's be reminded. Let's watch.
You can't live on these prayers and fantasies forever.
You know, something that really helped me was just realizing that everything happens for a reason.
Prayer? There's nobody listening. And if there is a God, he doesn't have time for us.
So did you notice his brother Bill? Prayers, fantasies? Or what about the individual that was there to pick up one of her children from school? Everything happens for a reason, she said. Or what about his former manager? What did he say? Prayer? No one's listening. You see, those were all little subtle remarks that again continued to erode that peace and that contentment and the joy that that family had. And brothers, when we go through those kind of trials, and it may not be that we have to experience everything that Job went through or everything that the Bannisters went through, But Satan will look for opportunities to capitalize on any of those negative experiences and with the effort to damage the relationship that you and I have with Jehovah. Let's just go back to that theme text again in Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. And we're going to read it again. 8 and 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we keep eagerly waiting for it with endurance. Now, this verse is nicely highlighting the context of what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he was writing this letter to the Romans. Trials of life is what Paul was discussing. Because go back to verse 18. Notice he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time do not amount to anything in comparison with the glory that is going to be revealed in us." If we focus on the unseen hope, we're going to be able to endure any adversity that may cross our path, with that fact that we are eager for the day when our hope will become a reality. See, the majority of God's people, and that includes the majority of us here, we hope to live on a paradise earth and to enjoy the blessings that Jehovah God has promised us of the new world, with no more sickness, no more death, and none of the things that plague and pain us today. Such blessings, though, must be considered as unseen today. But yet, the time is approaching rapidly when we are going to see the reality for that hope that we have. You know, hope has such power that the Bible describes it as an anchor that can hold a ship so secure that it can ride out a terrible storm. In fact, hope, the Bible calls it the anchor of our soul. In his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul also shares with us something that can help us to continue to look eagerly towards that hope with endurance. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not give up, but even if the man we are inside is wasting away, certainly the man we are inside is being renewed from day to day. For through the tribulation, for though the tribulation is momentary and light, it works out for us a glory that is of more and more surpassing greatness and is everlasting. While we keep our eyes not on the things seen, but on the things unseen. For the things seen are temporary, but the things unseen are everlasting. Paul uses some very thought-provoking phrases in these verses that we read here, these three verses. Now let's look at them in a little bit more detail. Notice he begins when he says, "We do not give up." We do not give up. In other words, he was saying that we are going to endure. It's like that man with his face to the wind that we described earlier. Although we have not yet received our reward, our faith is so strong that we keep waiting patiently for the payment of that reward. We endure patiently. We do not give up. And then Paul says, the man we are outside. Well, that's the physical man. That's the outside of us and all that we experience in our life. And what does he say about the man on the outside? He says it's wasting away. Now, that can denote perhaps the impact of various trials that we might experience, such as ill health or debilitating disease that we received. It may be the fact that we are getting older, and with old age comes a lot of trouble and problems. Or what about economic problems? Upswings and downswings in the economy, persecution, temptation, the death of a loved one. Or as our brothers and sisters in Fort McMurray have just experienced a natural disaster that can totally upset our lives unexpectedly. You see, all of those things are the things on the outside, and they're wasting away. The wear and tear on our bodies cannot be avoided. But then Paul says, the man we are inside. Now he's talking about our spiritual condition. He says that that's an inner driving force that involves both our mind and our heart. And as we continue to daily cultivate to strengthen our relationship with Jehovah by reading his word, meditating upon it, and how it touches our heart. It's much like the drama that we just viewed. You know, as you and I shed tears on various parts of that, it was touching our heart. It was touching the inner person. Then Paul says that that man on the inside is being renewed from day to day. Well, that only happens if we daily take in knowledge from God's Word, the Bible, or reading the Bible-based publications that we receive, or associating with our Christian brothers and sisters at our weekly meetings, and above all, by praying regularly to Jehovah. Brothers, because Jehovah is renewing us, that inner person, we should regularly avail ourselves of everything that Jehovah provides for us. That's what we need to do to endure the trials that we face. Now, let me tell you about a missionary who faithfully served for over 43 years. And this missionary had faced periods of physical tiredness and discouragement. But listen to what our sister said. She never tired out, and this is the reason. She says, I have made it a practice to rise early so that before starting any work, I can spend time in prayer to Jehovah and read his word. This daily routine has helped me to endure until now. In verse 17, it talks about the tribulation. What does this refer to? Well, it actually refers to any trial or any negative experience that we need or may be enduring. But remember what is next said, that it is momentary and light. And what's that doing? It's describing for us the temporary nature of our painful circumstance. You know, a person's remembering the temporary nature of a trial and holding fast onto that Christian hope that we have of being in Jehovah's righteous new world, it allows us to stay faithful to Jehovah, to stay loyal to him. Now, what if we have been experiencing trials for years, maybe even decades? Can we say it's still momentary and light? Well, yes, if we compare it to the future that is more and more surpassing in its greatness and is everlasting. You remember Job? We don't know how long the experience the Bible describes Job went through, but if you were to say that it lasted him a year, from the one day that he lost all of his material possessions and his family to the illness that he experienced, and say it lasted a year, but what did Jehovah give him after he demonstrated his integrity? He gave him 140 years. So do you think Job thought that that 1 year was beyond his ability to withstand the trial? Not likely. So if we view our trial today in comparison to living forever on Jehovah's righteous earth, it is momentary. and it is light in nature. So what do we need to do? What did the Apostle Paul say? He says, keep our eyes on. He is talking about keeping a mental focus. On what? The things seen? No, because the present circumstances, these are the things we face daily. They're going to disappear. They're simply like tinsel or window dressing. But he says, keep it on the things unseen. The kingdom hope. The blessings of the future that we find in God's Word, the Bible. And though we have not yet seen all of these things firsthand, we are to focus on them instead of our present negative situations and circumstances in life. And then verse 18, it nicely summarizes the matter by saying, for the things seen are temporary, but the things unseen are everlasting. Because of our unseen kingdom blessings that are in the future, we don't see them yet. We need to continue to endure, waiting for them to come. It's like standing there waiting for the bus, and you keep looking down the street to see that it's when it's coming. It was prophesied in the Bible that we would have to wait. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says that there are new heavens and a new earth that we are awaiting according to the promise, and in these righteousnesses to dwell. And how do we wait? Well, we wait with the expressions found in the book of Philippians. We wait with eager expectation and hope. Now, there is no limit, though, to the strength that we can draw when we are going through a trial and we're suffering. Why do we say that? Turn, please, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. And may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may endure fully with patience and joy. Paul is reminding us that Jehovah can help us to endure with joy. Now, as the video that we watched a few moments ago showed, losing a loved one in death can be devastating. Yet Jehovah's glorious might, which he displayed in resurrecting Jesus, does that not reassure us that any who die faithful still belong to Jehovah? Most certainly they do. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7 to 9, this scripture was used quite frequently in yesterday's program. And there the Apostle Paul said, not one of us, in fact, lives with regard to himself only. And no one dies with regard to himself only, for if we live, we live to Jehovah. And if we die, we die to Jehovah. So both if we live and if we die, we belong to Jehovah. For this end, Christ died and came to life again so that we might be Lord over both the dead and the living. We can help fellow believers who are suffering to endure eagerly and to do it with joy. Do you recall what others did in order to support the Bannister family as they went through their trials? Let's just be reminded by looking again at some excerpts from our video.
Many are the hardships of the righteous one.
Guys, Sasha, oh, it's so good to see you. It's so good to see you.
Thank you.
Oh, we're happy to.
Yeah.
Hi, Ethan.
Jacob.
Just wanted to stop in and see how you were holding up. And I brought someone with me. He looked familiar.
Ethan, it's good to see you.
Victor.
Yeah, you remembered.
Is it bad?
No, it's not bad. It'll be an easy fix.
That's good.
So I don't have my tools with me today, so I'll have to come back. But when I do, I'll knock it out. It's a quick job, a couple hours.
That's great, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you ever need to talk about anything, just give me a call. I'm always available.
This is something that you wouldn't really understand.
We just wanted to come by and see how you were doing.
Yeah, we missed seeing you at the meeting.
Thanks. I think we've just been a little wiped out.
Ethan, how are the treatments going?
Same.
By the way, the friends wanted to help with some of the expenses, so they had a gift for you.
That's so nice. Thank you.
You've been dealing with so much, and the congregation, we all want to help out.
Thank you.
You can't blame yourself. Please, you have your Bible there. Let's read the scripture of Ecclesiastes 9:11. And if you can't, just read part B.
Because time and unexpected events overtake them all.
Now, what's one reason that perhaps Jehovah had this recorded? Well, he knows when we lose someone, we want someone to blame, even if it's ourselves.
I prayed, Victor. I just feel like if I let go, I'm forgetting them. I don't want to forget them.
You're not going to forget them. But letting go of this pain, it's not about forgetting our past. It's about remembering our future.
Thank you.
But if we hope for what we do not see, we keep eagerly waiting for it with endurance.
So can we think of what we can do? When some in our congregations are facing trials, did you notice there were those that visited them regularly? Elders, friends. Some brought food. Some would just come and talk with them. Or maybe help with house cleaning or maintenance of their home. Congregation provided some financial assistance. Excuse me. See, there's a variety of circumstances and situations in which each and every one of us can help. And elders, as shepherds, you too take the lead in assisting such individuals as they cope through their trials and circumstances. Help them to remember the future, to hope for what they do not see. We know that you want to watch this video again, because we all like to cry. Hence, at this time, we are pleased to release the video, Hope for What We Do Not See. And our chairman will indicate to you how you can access this video so that you can watch it at home on your devices. Brothers, remember Job. Knowing that whatever trial you face, Jehovah will make the way out and that you can endure it. Hope for what you do not see and keep waiting in eagerly with that quality of endurance.
What a fortifying conclusion to today's program.